Thanks for listening to The Rivers Podcast. For more information on this teaching, visit our website at theriver.info.
Good morning, everybody. Now, before we start, I just want to, I'm not going to command you, but I want to strongly encourage you to get even more belligerent about Jesus Christ. I want us to cry out to the Father that we would fall in love with people like never before and be more embracing of everybody that we meet, no matter what race or creed or nationality they are, but to be overwhelmingly enthused about what Jesus has done for us. Because it's coming soon, and it has already started, where an inclusion spirit, everybody, we're all one, is trying to absorb even the church, where people are starting to say, well, doesn't it all just go to the same God? And we're all really serving the same God, and we don't believe that as Christians. We believe that God loves everybody, that's true, but the way back to the Father is Jesus. So just get more excited about, oh, that's a better word than belligerent. Get more excited about Jesus. Hey, everywhere you go, just, did you know what Jesus has done for me? All right? Because it's going to get rough for us as believers. But fear not. You know the rest. You can turn to John chapter 4. Today we're going to be in verse 27. My name is Nate. You all launched the formal ministry that I'm a part of. The River, when they started, I was one of the teaching pastors at The River. And then a few years into that, I felt the call to plant a church. We planted Vanguard Church. And then after that, we planted Forefront in Benton Harbor. And then we planted Vanguard North, which is down the street. And then we planted Hesed in Detroit. And then Mosaic over on the corner of Florence and Woodbury. And we launched Urban Alliance. We started Benefit Twice, which is a retail store over on West Main and Drake that helps to support some of the ministries we do, and we've been working really, really hard in the streets all over. On Mondays and Wednesdays, I work in Benton Harbor. On Thursdays, Fridays, and some Sundays, I work in Detroit, and it's the joy of my heart. But from the very beginning, I had this desire. I don't know where it came from. I hope it was from the Lord. I had this desire to last long. I had a desire for longevity. And in the beginning, it was actually a fear because I saw in scriptures that there's not a lot of people that ended well. It was a fear, like, I'm in ministry, Lord, and you see me pouring my heart out in the streets, and you see all of our street ministers all over in Benton Harbor and Detroit and Kalamazoo, and you see us working hard, and we're doing well now. But who wants to do well just for a little bit? And I had a desire for longevity, and the Lord actually started to point out to me, Nate, you're afraid that you're not going to last long, because fear isn't from the Lord. Well, I said, well, okay. Well, how do I? Because I don't know if you realize this, but even in contemporary history, it's very hard to find people and organizations that end well. You see organizations do really good or businesses do really good for a little bit, and then they plateau, and then pretty soon they fade off. Some of them last for 5 years. Some of them last for 55 years. Some of them last for 100 years. Very, very rare. Do you see people in organizations just continue to slowly just continue in excellence? And even churches, You see churches do really, really well, and you'll see a really good church for a long time, maybe. And then, and I had this desire in me. I said, I want to be in Detroit at 87. They're like, what did you say? Get over here, little homie. I'm going to cast these demons out of you. You know what I mean? I want people on the west side of Detroit, east side of Detroit, be like, did you ever meet this really old-looking dude? And he come right up to you, and you can see the love in his eyes, and he rubs on you a little bit, and then he tells you, hey, you need Jesus, and then tells you all this, and then you feel like you have to give. You did you meet that dude? Be like, yeah, that dude's old as heck. That's what. And then gather my kids and my wife and my family to the bed, and I say, I bless you. I bless you with all the blessings of the Father. Be fruitful, multiply, and then give my life up to my Creator. That's the way I envision it. I envision going out. You don't envision that? You think about that kind of stuff?
All the time. I'm from Baltimore. I'm going back to Baltimore.
And bring the kingdom. And I'm telling you, that the fact of the matter is, even naturally, like if you are impacted by what you see in nature, in your heart right now, you realize that it's getting ready. Right? And I say, well, I don't believe that scripture. I want to be like Caleb, who says, I'm 85. And I'm just as strong as I ever was. Give me the inheritance that I'm going to go kick them dudes out of the land. Right? That's the way I see scripture. I don't see anything in scripture that says we have to yield to things just eventually start to tail off. No. So I want to just talk to you a little bit about what I feel like the Lord has put on my heart. Starting in verse 27. Just then, his disciples returned. We're surprised to find Jesus talking with a woman, but no one asked, what do you want or why are you talking with her? Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. He said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest, even now. The one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus, the saying, one sows and another reaps is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. Don't you just love Jesus? Man, I like thinking about him. I like reading about him. I like praying to him and talking to him. Just, what a guy. Because he's talking to a lady, and you guys talked about this probably last week, who had been divorced 5 times. If you've ever been married, you realize you don't enter into marriage thinking it's going to end. And this lady was devastated, guaranteed she was devastated when it ended. And then the second one ended. And then the third one ended. And by the fifth one, I bet you she barely invited anybody to come to the ceremony. Yeah, they were like, and she's at such a point that now this dude, she's not even asking that this dude marries her. That's how broken she is. You don't gotta marry me. And Jesus comes in, he's like, oh. Disciples, go on in there and get some food. You're going to mess this up. Yeah. I should start practicing that. You guys can't be here for this part. You're going to mess this up. So, and then he gets to loving on her, huh? Now, what I usually do, because the way that Rob had sent the text to me, he said, do you want to just preach whatever you want, or do you want us to give you a scripture? And I said, oh, give me a scripture. I like that. So this is the scripture he gave me. Now, what I was taught in seminary was you get a scripture. So this is 27 through 38. So you get a piece of scripture. Try to read the context around it. So you read probably all of John 4. Read it about 15 or 20 times, and then go for a walk. That's the way I was taught. So that's what I did. Part of it was I read it, and then I went for a drive because I drive to Detroit, like, regularly. So I just took a drive. Sometimes something will come to my heart. Sometimes it will be just a phrase. The phrase that stuck out to me was, verse 32. I have food to eat that you know nothing about. You know, his disciples, now this is just me. This is just me, so this is just me. Sometimes I'll be a little irritated because Jesus is always saying stuff, and you're like, what, now what? You know, you ask Jesus a question, he'll say, ah, that might, and you're like, I just want to know yes or no. Because look, they went in to get food, and you read last week, they was tired from the journey, so he's sitting there by the well, they go get the food, Rabbi, sit right there, we'll be right back. Boom, boom, boom. They go grab the food, they come back, and they here's your food, Rabbi. He said, I have food to eat that you don't know anything about. Like, what are you, man, who is this dude? I spent my money to get that food. I have food to eat. So I said, Lord, what are you trying to say? Because I'm thinking on it and praying on it because I take very seriously presentation of the Word of God. Did you realize that Jesus taught 60% of the time that he did ministry? Yeah. So Lord, what are you trying to say? I have food to eat. You know nothing about. What are you talking about? And I started to think about the word sustenance. Now, Jesus is pointing to the fact that he's being sustained by something else, not just food. Now, realize that according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, that every person is spirit, soul, and body. You're not just spirit. You went, oh, isn't that Nate's spirit over there? No. Hey, I see Nate's body, but where's his soul at? No. Every person is spirit, soul, and body. And they're each sustained differently, but you can't separate them. You're one person, but you're spirit, soul, and body. And I want you to realize that even scripturally, sometimes your body is impacted by your spirit and is impacted by what you feed your spirit. And you knew that. Think about that. Did you know that people can actually start to deteriorate physically as they get stressed out in their mind? Yeah. Did you know? Oh. Did you know that you can get happy from eating certain foods? This is my wife right here, Star, and we've been married almost 21 years now. And she said, this is how I know if she really likes her food. She'll be like, she starts going like this. She's like, That's how I know. It's affecting her body. Oh, boy. But as far as sustenance is concerned, you got to realize that Jesus, the master teacher, who's always teaching, he just can't help it. He's always teaching. His people come back and like, here's the food we got for you. And he said, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. They said, what? My food is to do the will of the one who sent me. Don't you say that the harvest is coming soon? Look now, look. The harvest is plentiful right here. Even now, the reaper is drawing his wages. Even now, he's trying to explain to them and to us there's sustenance that you need to learn about. And it's not just about feeding your face. Some of the sustenance that you need is deeper than that. And it can actually have an impact that can sustain you, even physically. Is that possible? I think about that. Now, one of the things that I know that we need to remember is the counterintuitivity of the kingdom. What I mean by that is, you know that Jesus said, when you give, it shall be given to you. So isn't that interesting that in the kingdom of God, you receive when you give? Yeah. Actually, Jesus says you're forgiven when you forgive. So you want to be forgiven, then you forgive someone else. Yeah. You know how you become the greatest in the kingdom of God? You become the least. You make yourself, you become the chief servant. And the counterintuitivity of the kingdom is just a real fact. Now, in this case, Jesus kind of points at it because he says, basically, when you start to minister to others, you get ministered to. When you start to feed others, you get fed. That's basically what he's saying, because he's saying right here, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. And they're like, well, what is it? And then he's in this situation with this woman who really needs this help and this mercy. And as he's ministering to her, he's getting ministered to. It's the counterintuitivity of the kingdom. Did you know that in the kingdom, if you want to get hungry, you eat? Think about this. The hungriest that I ever have gotten in my life, the hungriest that I ever get, is after having an amazing encounter with God, either in worship or in my personal prayer time or somewhere. You have an encounter with God, and all of a sudden, you are hungry for the Lord. You're like, where else can I get more? And you're opening up the Word. You know, everybody in here, if you're in here, you probably at one time had an awakening and said, Jesus is real. You remember that? I remember it. I had been in church for years, and then all of a sudden, Jesus is real. You know what I'm talking about? And during those first few weeks or months, or maybe it might sustain you for years, you wake up in the morning, you're like, my goodness. And then someone's talking to you, and they start talking about the basketball game, and you're like, that is sweet. Listen, now, the other day I was reading in Ezekiel, and they're like, no, I want to talk about the Cavs. Yeah, the Cavs are sweet. Listen, LeBron James, he's awesome. But listen, now, did you see Isaiah 61? My goodness, look, you know what I mean? But, like I said, it wanes. It wanes. And just naturally speaking, it's very rare to people who you've seen who have just been on fire. Just because you go through like peaks and valleys. Some seasons you're like, man, the Lord. And some seasons you're like, did I do my devotions this week? Huh? Oh, I'm the only one? Okay, I have a mentor who told me one time, he said, I had a dry season that was 2 years. Oh, my goodness. And I understand it. But here Jesus is, the master teacher, teaching us something about the counterintuitive nature of the kingdom. And he's saying to us, listen, the food that I have to eat is actually hidden in when you minister to someone else. So I started to think about that because, as I told you from the very beginning, I have a desire for longevity. This is a funny story, but it's not funny at all. But it's funny, though, to me, but it's not funny. I have a mentor. He was telling his granddaughter, who was about 9 or 10, he was telling his granddaughter about some of the tent revivals that they used to do. He was explaining to her all about the signs and wonders and miracles that had happened, all the amazing things that had, the people that got saved, healed and delivered. He was just telling her about all these things that happened in the tent meeting. And his granddaughter said, "Grandpa, how come God doesn't use you anymore?" He said, "I was so cut to the heart." He said, "I was so cut to the heart." He said, "I went and got on my knees and repented." And that's when the second half of his ministry life took off, because he realized, "Oh, I'm just not in love with Jesus like I used to be." And you go through those seasons. Actually, some of you are in those seasons right now. And some of you are getting ready to go through those seasons. So either use this message or get ready and put it in your back pocket to use it. Because you just, it's just the weight of just regular life happens, and you start to, and then you do your devotions finally, and then you're like, "Oh, well, I may as well read something," and you're like, "Oh, yeah, that's okay, yeah, yeah, yeah." And the pastor gives the message, and you're like, "Yeah, but I heard him preach it better a couple years ago," right? I guarantee you that many of you have heard a message on the Samaritan woman more than twice. And you're like, "Well, yeah, he was okay, but I don't think that he really explained this part really well." And you start to become critical, and you're like, "Well, do you want to go to church today?" Be like, I don't know. But when you're in those really excited seasons, pastor will be like, "We're going to start in John 4 today," and you're like, "Glory to God! Oh, I was just in that yesterday. Ooh, I can't wait to hear what he says about this." Yeah. That's the on fire part of who, when you're excited and on fire. Now, so because I have a desire for longevity, and I have a desire for our families and our ministries for longevity, and think about this. You wouldn't want even 20 or 30 years from now to hear that the river, they're not sure if they're going to stay open anymore. You would never want to even hear that. I wouldn't want to hear that. I want to hear about the river taking territory until all of us go home. Huh? But it's rare. It's rare. And I say that it should become less rare. Yeah, you should hear about more ministries going through explosive revivals, like year after year after year. And Jesus is hiding something in this, because he says, "I have food to eat that you really need to learn about. I really have appreciated the way I've watched the river minister to the hurting and the broken over the years." But after a while, if you're not careful, you're just like, "Well, yeah, that's what we do." And then if you're not careful, after a while, you're like, "Yeah, it's sweet." Well, I want you to realize that because of the counterintuitive nature of the kingdom, if you want to get hungry again for the Lord, you got to start eating. When you're in those dry seasons, guess what starts to happen? You just don't want to. You don't want to. You're like, you turn on the Christian radio station, you're like, "This song's okay. Yeah." You just could feel the weight of, and I feel like some of it is demonic. Some of that kind of stuff is oppression from the camp of the enemy. They're trying to dry you out. But in the middle of those seasons, do you know what I've learned how to do? Stuff this stuff down your face whether you want to or not. Yeah. And you start to eat it and eat it. I had wondered for the longest time, how come I could go out into street ministry just really, really tired? Because I don't know, but sometimes, you know, you're tired. And I have always wondered for the longest time, how come I would go out into the streets to do street ministry and come out back with more energy than when I left? I had always wondered that. And I realized it is because of what we've just been talking about. Because when you start to minister to people that are hurting and broken, all of a sudden you start to get ministered too. It's the way the kingdom is set up. If you want to get hungry, start watching sermon after sermon after sermon after sermon online. You want to get hungry? Start reading this and reading this and reading this. And at first, you're going to be like, I don't want to do this. And as you start to read it, you're going to start to get gripped. And you're going to, because the counterintuitive nature of the kingdom, think about this. As I said before, some of the most amazing times of hunger that I've ever had in my life are after a really great encounter with the Lord. But realize this. He says, you'll seek me and you'll find me when you seek for me with all your heart. So you're seeking him with all your heart. It didn't say whether you feel like seeking him or not. It just said seek him. So you're up there seeking him with all your heart. You're like, God, I don't want to do this. My family is a wreck. I'm struggling at work. I don't, this and this and this. And you don't feel like doing them. And you're eating and eating and eating. And the scripture says you'll find him. Guess what happens when you find him? You're so floored at how amazing he is. You're so shocked. I remember when we first started people getting healed in the streets. I was so shocked. I was so excited. And then I found out that you could get someone free from addiction by casting demons out of them. And then I was so excited about that for a long time. And then we got excited about taking complete authority over areas as soon as we got into the area. And I was so excited about that. But what I realized was it was because I was giving and pouring my life out to the people in the streets. As I was doing that, I was getting fed. I'm going to tell you two stories. And then, because I have been accused of being long-winded. Behind my back. No, I'm just kidding. They say it to my face. We're ministering to this lady in the streets, and she's one of the people in our ministry team in Benton Harbor. She has been raped and beaten by her own family. And so the other day I'm talking to her, and her face is glowing because I can't go to the ministry house when she's not worshiping God. Unless she's down serving the food with us, she's always worshiping God. So she comes down and we're talking about something, and her face is full of joy, and she was telling me about how much she loves her family and how she's praying that some of them will come to the Lord. And so, and I'm thinking in my head, who are you talking about? Because I know what your family did to you. So I asked her, who are you talking about? She said, you know, my aunt and my brother. And I was so shocked because I came there to minister to her, and I have helped her. I have prayed for her, and we've counseled and encouraged her. And this lady who we're trying to help encourage is telling me about praying for people who have raped and beaten her. I went home in repentance. Full repentance, because I said, God, I want to be like that. But it was when I was ministering that I got ministered to. It's the counterintuitive nature of the kingdom. Well, this is another story, so that means there's two more stories. I'm sorry about but this one's really short. This one's really short. this one's really short. Man, there's this dude in the streets in Benton Harbor, and this dude is he's struggling with alcohol. Every Wednesday, we do a meal where we give the lunch out, and anybody who wants can come. We pray and do a little Bible presentation before we eat, and then everybody who wants can come and eat. There's this dude, Money Mike. He comes in to eat, and he is a handful because he's a known gang member on one side of Benton Harbor, and some of the other gang members really can't stand him, but because he's from a family of gang members, they don't mess with him. And because he's always drinking, he's always a handful. So he comes in, and we always have salad. We might have hamburgers, we might have hot dogs, whatever it is, but we always have salad. I feel like we should offer something healthy. Even though they drown it with ranch. Drowned it. I'm talking about drowned it. So we give Buddy Mike. So I'm setting it out there. We're getting ready to eat. I put the salad out there. People are starting to gather. Money Mike's sitting against the wall, and he's like, man, it might be nice if we had French dressing sometime. Because we always just get ranch. I feel like everybody can get with ranch. And I just thought, okay, yeah. All right, Money. So I'm at Gordon Food Service the next week, and I'm going down and getting the oh, you know what? I'm going to grab this little bottle of French dressing. Now I'm in there. We're making food. I got the French dressing out. Money comes in. I was like, Money, hey, look, I got French dressing for you today. He said, that means you were thinking about me. Dude, I was sustained for weeks for one sentence in the middle of the ministry field. One sentence. All he said was, that means you were thinking about me. I've had to kick him out two or three times after that because he was just unruly. And every time I've kicked him out since, he said, but Nate, you know that I love you, right? I'm sorry, but you know that I love you. I said, I do, Money, but you got to go. You got to go. I ministered to. As I'm ministering, I'm getting fed. That means that as you start to feel those down seasons, you should increase the time that you spend ministering to others. Find that little cousin that everybody can't stand. Find that uncle or aunt that everybody is talking crazy about. Send them text love letters. I do it all the time. Just, hey, I'm praying for you, brother. I love you. Yeah. Okay, last one. One of our house ministry supervisor in Detroit is an ex-gang member. I'm not sure how ex it is, but he loves Jesus. His mom is an addict, and she's been an addict since his stepfather was pushed off a building, and they killed him. The men threw him off a building and killed his stepfather, and then his mom became addicted almost within the year. And then at 14, he was kicked out of his house, and he was homeless in Detroit since 14. So this dude is just, he's got a lot of issues. The best thing about him, though, is he is in love with Jesus, man. So we got him in discipleship because everywhere that I go to do ministry, I get people in discipleship class right away, and we grill them, man. We make sure, hey, you start memorizing scripture, you start reading scripture. We get after them because we believe that discipleship will actually turn people into disciples. It does take a while, and you got to commit to it because doing discipleship is not a Sunday morning thing. It's a life-on-life thing where you're walking with them, you're saying, come on now, you can do it, and then they fall, and you're like, get up, little fella, you can do it, you can do it. So we've been doing this with Josh. Now, I come back to the house a few weeks ago, and just pouring my life into this young man. He's 24 now. Pouring my life into this young man. He says to me, him and his friend Knight, they're both from the same gang. He said, hey, you know what he said, Nate, you know what me and Knight did last night? I said, what did you guys do? I'm hoping it's something legal. What did you guys do? He said, you know what? We were praying, and he said, we both felt like we should start calling the people that we had hurt and ask for their forgiveness. I said, wait, what? Who told you to do that? They said, I think it was God. I was that, yes, it was God. Yes, it was the Lord. I'm sitting here thinking to myself, here's this young man I'm supposed to be leading. And this dude's leading me? I've had some of the deepest conviction from being around people who have been hurt and beat and broken, and them looking at me straight in the face and saying, I just love Jesus so much. Full of alcohol and drugs, looking at me saying, I just love Jesus so much, and I really hope that he lets me in. Wow, you're so precious. And then I go home, and I get into my word again because I'm like, Lord, I want to be like that. And And I found that one of the keys to longevity that I've been praying to the Lord for is hidden in that sentence. I have food to eat that you know nothing about. My food is to do the will of the one who sent me. And if you want to get ministered to, start ministering. If you want to get hungry again, start eating like never before. It's the counterintuitive nature of the kingdom, and it is how people contain and remain on fire for the fullness of their life. Because as I started to look into this, I started to see, yes, there are great revivalists who crashed at the end. They saw hundreds of thousands of people come to Christ and crash at the end. But there are also handfuls of people who have just continued to faithfully serve God and continue to be on fire. And one of my friends, she has a grandmother who has spent 45 years in the prayer houses in South Korea. She said, Nate, I called my mom the other day just to check on her in South Korea. And I said, Mom, what are you doing? And she said, my mom at 95 said, oh, I'm just trying to memorize Colossians chapter 2. That you could go to meet your Savior more on fire than you ever have been. That's the way I want to be. I don't want to be one of those jaded Christians that's the bed. Hey, man, Granddad Nate. You'd be like, what? Because I'm a grandpa. Grandpa Nate, how come God doesn't use you anymore? I don't want to be like that. Every year, I want to grow in my love and passion for Jesus. Every year, I want to believe more that he can do anything for the worst sinner, more and more in love with the Father, and more sure of the Father's love for everyone. And I don't want to become one of those people that just gets weighed down by life and the cares of life and start to value materials more than my Lord. I just want to, but the way to do it in the kingdom is to eat your face off. Shovel this stuff in. Now, I didn't ask her to do it before we got here, but babe, can you go around there and then come up the ramp? Because I don't want you to. I'm going to have my wife pray. Which one do you want me to use, sound booth? I need maybe a, can I use this one? This is my wife, Star. She's a good kid. Whoops. All right, I'm going to have her pray for anybody that feels like you're in a dry season. Here you go, little homie. All right. If you've been feeling tired and dry, I want you to stand up. If you've been feeling burdened and not as on fire as you used to be, I just stand up. If you want to be turned on fire again, just stand up, and then I'm going to have my wife pray over you. Just I don't care how you raise your hands, just receive it however you want, and then I'm going to have, go ahead. Thank you, Lord.
Father, we just come before you now, and we just thank you, Lord, for bringing us here today, Father. Lord, you're not a God of coincidence. You are a God of appointments.
Yeah.
You orchestrate things, Father, and we know that you've orchestrated us to be here today. And so, Father, we just call on you, Father. We cry out to you, Lord. We need you. We need you, Lord, to fill us up where we've been empty, Lord. We need you to soften us, Lord, where we've been hard-hearted. We need you, Father, to clear our minds, Father, where we've been jaded, Lord, where we've been critical, Father, where we've been judgmental, Lord. All those things that keep us from you, Father. We ask, Father, that you would remove them in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Father, and we just open our hearts to you right now, Lord. We receive, Father, the feeling that you have for us, Father. Yeah. I thank you, Father, that you love us so much, Father, that you know we get in these dry places. And, Father, all I have to do is say, Lord, here I am. I need you, and I want you. And we knock at the door, Father, and you open it. So I thank you, Father, it's that simple, Lord. So we come to you, Father, with soft hearts, Father, with desire, Father, even when we don't have desire, Father, I thank you that we can just ask, Father, and you will even give us the desire when we don't have it.
Yeah.
So I speak on behalf of those right now who don't even have the desire, and they say, Lord, I need the desire I even to serve you more than I have been serving you, to eat more than I've been eating, to get into your word, to worship you, Father, to minister to those who are around me who need ministering, Father. So we ask for that right now, Jesus, just even the desire to do it.
Yes, Lord.
And we thank you, Father, that we can ask this in your name, Lord, and you hear us and you answer, Father. So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we just receive a filling. We receive a rekindling of a fire, Father. We ask that you would wave that fire, that you would help that fire to burn bright for those around us, Lord. And that we would just get back on track, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, that we will not get into condemnation. I just come against the spirit of condemnation right now, in the name of Jesus. Yes. This is not about condemning for where you are, Father, because that's not what you come to do.
Yes.
But, Father, that we would just be encouraged today, Father, to get back to you where we need to be, Father, and to go further with you.
Yes, Lord.
We receive it by faith.
By faith.
This is not about how we feel, Father. This is by faith and by what your word says.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, if I could have the rest of you stand so that we can close the service. Huh? Oh, you can stay up here if you want. Just put your hand over your heart. Now, as you go, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance to you and give you his peace, both now and forevermore. Amen. Have a great, great week.
Thanks for listening. For more information, check us out online at theriver.info.